since 87. But now, out of 18 kids, see, now 14 of us, you might say, got higher education. 14. The other four, my daddy had another room. He said,
now, them two babies, they came for the ride. And they ride in style, too.
He said, if you're not going to do anything, don't waste my money. Because we don't have any money to waste. Now, and in my house, that was a system. See, my mother never worked for 2 days in her life. I got a whipping for that second day that she worked. Because she had me watching for my dad. My dad didn't want my mother to work. He said, you stay at home and take care of the children. I will provide the food and I'll take care of the house. And so it was a house just about like that house over there. And my mother went over there to work, and she told me to watch for my father. My boy, you could see my father coming over the railroad track, about a quarter of a mile, better than a quarter of a mile. But see, back in then, you could get a dime for a bullfrog on Saturday. Well, I was going to catch some bullfrogs, and I was down in the ditch catching the bullfrogs, and my mind got away from what I was supposed to be doing. I was supposed to be watching for my daddy. And the reason she was over there, she wanted to get 2 yards of cloth to make my sisters them some Easter dresses. See? And so I got distracted trying to catch the frog. But I already caught 2 frogs. And I figured if I could catch 3 more, that would be 50 cents. See? So I was trying to catch the frog, and when I knew anything, my daddy spoke to me. He said, boy, did you catch anything today? And I looked up on the bank, and there he stood. Lord of mercy. See? So he said, I said, yes, sir. I said, I caught 2. I said, I want to get 3 more. It's all right. So he went on to the house where the house was. Just about like that tower over there. Now I went up the ditch and told my mama. I said, mother, daddy's at home, daddy's at home. Yeah, boy, I thought I told you to watch for your daddy. And I said, well, I was trying to catch the frog. She said, I told you to watch for your daddy. All right. She came on down the ditch and our stall for the cow and the mule was about behind the house. Like, but she went up and came through the barn. And so that evening when we sat down at the dinner table, she whispered and told me. She said, I will see you in the morning when your daddy leaves. Now, I guess you know, in the morning when my daddy left, baby, I had to pay the supreme sacrifice. I got it. I mean, I got it. She said, when I tell you to watch your daddy, you're going to watch your daddy. Yes, ma'am. See? And my daddy slipped upon me no more. See? But, you know, that was the kind of discipline and you did. And that's why my wife called me a mammon-raised boy. Because my mother taught the boys the same thing that she taught the girls. See, we were taught, even now, I make all the pastries in my house. We were taught to cook. And like I was telling him, I can put anything in a fruit jar. Anything. You can talk to people. See, you didn't have no refrigeration in there, that kind of stuff. See, so you put it in fruit jars. And you cooked all of the different foods, so like the beef and the pork and all. And you put it in fruit jars. But now the boys had to stand there and watch the procedure the same as the girls. And even in the washing and ironing, see, we didn't have the bleaches and all that you got now. But your daddy's collar, when he put on that shirt, go to church that Sunday, it had better be starched than I can make starch out of flour. And it had better stand up straight. You know, you didn't have the collar stays and all that. The starch had to be stiff where your daddy's collar stayed. Now, if your daddy's collar turned up in church like that, you got a whipping for that. He said, you half ironed it. See? So you iron your daddy's collars so that they stay down. And if a wrinkle was in that collar, call it a cat face. But no cat face better not be in the collar that trick. Because she said, you more or less was disgracing her. She said, it made folks think that she couldn't iron. See? Even though you were the one that was doing ironing. So you learn how to do everything. You learn how to do the cleaning. And like you didn't have the you know, like soaps and stuff like that, like they have now. You can take some of that sand and a bucket of water and polish the floor just this white and prettiest one ever been polished. It look like you bleached it. You take that sand and a brush. Now that sand gonna make your knees raw. So you make a pad, put on your knees. And you take that brush and you sprinkle that sand on that floor and you do that. And that's the way you clean the floor. Well, and I was looking at that over there, one of those exhibits where they had the brush and the broom. Now that's what you swept with. And it would have to be just as pretty and clean as that. But you did it with that same kind of brush over there. But it's a lot of things that now, more than, I say, things are things, more than inventions, things now. But you did the same thing in yesteryears, but you just used what you had. And that in itself caused, I think, a person's mind to be creative. And you apply your mind to these things. And you take whatever tool that you needed or whatever that you had to have. Your daddy wouldn't think nothing. Then what you go to the blacksmith shed. You made that. So you heated the piece of steel and you took the hammer and put it on the anvil and you formed it. See? And you made that piece. Whatever it was that you had to have. But nowadays, you know, with all the conveniences and all the machinery, you don't have to do that. And I think that has taken away some of the creative mind of kids as such. But a lot of things, you take back in the years, in the 30s. And then, like I was telling the kid the other day, it caused a cohesiveness in the clothes, a common crisis. Calls people, you know, to bind. We had a guard spot, about 5 miles from the house, right beside the railroad track down in Fairfield. I heard somebody mention Fairfield a while ago. And down at 11 highway down there, my daddy sent me down and said, "You're going to meet a fella." I said, "Fella's supposed to send me something." And it was about 2 miles down the railroad track. And he gave me a pig in the sack. Well, I brought the pig on. In about 3 weeks, Daddy sent some collard plants and some cabbage plants back to that man. So you take the collard plants and the cabbage plants back to him for his family. Now the next year, that pig had pigs. See, she been bred and she had pigs. You take another pig in the sack, when that pig got 4 weeks old, you took another pig in the sack and you carried it back to that man. And then turn, that man would send maybe okra plants or whatever back to but and that was during the Depression days, and this is how people live. You take now when you went to get the feed for the feed in the 100-pound sack. You didn't just go and pick up any kind of bag. Your mama would give you a pattern of what she wanted. If she wanted it, you would search all through that feed. You might have to move feet around. She wanted a piece of cloth like that shirt that the kid has on, or flower material. Now you had to go all through. Man, it might have been 100 stacks or sacks of feed there. But you had to pull those until you found that pattern that she told you she wanted. Now that was to make your sister some kind of skirt or some kind of blouse. And you take 100 pounds of feed then cost 90 cents or 85 cents. A dollar was high. You wouldn't know that. So that's what she sent the boys to get. See? And you didn't have no wagon or no cart like that. You carried on your shoulder a while. You pass it to your brother. He carried on his shoulder a while. He passed it back to you. And that's the way you got it home. But you know, and you take a lot of little what they call vicarious skills and creative skills. And I was telling them why, y'all, when Willie Mays first started playing baseball, and at one period there at the time that, you know, his batting average went down, and he was out to the ball field there at school.
Robert,
we was talking about it. He says his batting average had fallen. And Coach Knox was doing performances.
He didn't what I want, but I sell it, boy.
He said, you got away from the skills.
I'd rather be Boston.
Kept your batting average high. And he sent him out across the field to take this broom handle, and you go out there and you get a pile of rocks. And you hit those rocks until I tell you you're ready. And he went out across and he got that broom handle. He found out he couldn't hit the rocks.
Just a habit of
his hand and eye coordination had gone. And he hit those rocks out there for 3 weeks before the coach called him and said, now you ready. And he goes on back to the New York Giants. He hit home runs again.
You think we can use that band?
It's the right color, but it ain't strong enough.
You pick up Bill Monroe.
You come, who you gonna catch?
Bob Stone.
You gonna catch?
No.
Oh, he ain't going. Okay.
Bill Monroe.
Okay, I was just going. I'm gonna.